and being attended to by angels. So with that slightly tenuous link, I thought I could share an angel story. Two reasons. One, as a personal story, I knew it wouldn't duplicate anything that Hoppy's going to show with us later. And two, as it sort of was very poignant, meant something to me, I can hopefully recall it without going, a lot. Billy Graham famously reminds us not to become preoccupied with angels, and rightly so, but he is also quite vocal about how we should acknowledge their existence and give thanks for how the Lord powerfully uses them. Anyway, see what you think. This is mine. Or one of them. Actually, I've got a couple, but this is possibly the most poignant. It was about 6 or 7 years ago, and we, the three of us, Liz Harrison and myself, we were up in visiting my auntie and uncle in Formby, which is way up country, Liverpool. And important to say, auntie and uncle are very much like a sort of surrogate extra mum and dad for me, and very close to all of us. And this particular visit was our first visit where, this is relevant, they were starting to get a little bit of dementia. And we were aware, sort of speaking, on the phone, and cousin had told us. This is the first time we'd sort of seen them, which is relevant. Anyway, it went okay. And on the way back to sort of really then relax and sort of make a bit of a holiday of things, we thought, rather than come back on the motorway, we'll come meandering through Wales. Which is a longer way and the shorter, smaller roads. And we pre-booked a travel lodge right in the middle of Wales so we could really sort of chill out and enjoy that. So we'd set off, possibly later than we intended. And this is January, it's quite cold. And within a short time, we'd, to be honest, got lost. Completely my fault, really. And in that particular vehicle, we hadn't got a sat nav. And we only argue with sat-nav anyway, because we both think we know better. I don't update the sat-nav. And remarkably, we got lost, because my sense of direction is really good. I'm waiting for this to contradict me. It happens a lot. Before we knew it, really, we were... Now, this isn't a photo of the actual road, but we ended up on a road very much like this, sort of a housing estate in the middle of Wales. And time was going on. And I just grabbed this picture off the internet because it was very much like this. And we came around a corner, having acknowledged that we were lost and couldn't find our booked travel lodge. And there was a chap, sort of blue T-shirt, jeans, just standing at the side of the road. And normally, again, the fault is mine, we don't ask for directions because I kind of see a axe murderer in most people and say, no, they won't know. But remarkably, straight away, I just pulled over to have a word with him. As Liz said, that's a miracle in itself in that we kind of stopped. And we wound, obviously, this side, wound the window down. Liz got the map open on her knee. Harrison was a lot younger, obviously, sort of 6 years ago. It's starting to get a little bit grisly. Could have been many hours in the car. And this chap, who, to be honest, I sort of couldn't take my eyes off him. He had such a sort of kind face. He leant through the window, and he was pointing on the map on the knee. And there's many travel lodges in the middle of Wales, but he knew the exact one. He knew the name of it. And he even sort of looked around and smiled at Harrison and sort of stopped him grizzling, carried on pointing. But as I say, sort of we sort of felt completely at ease and very peaceful about it. So, right, okay. He even highlighted, he knew where to go. There was some distance to go yet. And he even highlighted that there's a particularly dodgy set of traffic lights. There's accidents. There's a bit of a black spot. Look out there, then carry on. And even I could take in the directions. And we pulled away. And as we're pulling away, trying to remember the directions, I glanced in the rearview mirror and didn't really think about it at the time. Well, this is just a picture of a rearview mirror. And there was nobody there. But kind of straight road with no trees, no wheelie bins, etc. Didn't think any more about it, blind spots, whatever. And we carried on trying to remember. and we'd even gone through these dodgy traffic lights, and they were, you know, there was a couple of idiots on them, but we were aware of it and carefully went over, and within a short period of time found the travel lodge, just as the last of the light was fading, and it began to snow, say freezing cold in January, and we went in. The girl behind the reception immediately sort of said, "Oh yes, you're in the right place. Yes, that's lovely. It's starting to snow, isn't it?" Because she was from Pakistan, and then it struck us that this chap had perfect sort of newsreader English, which was unusual because, like, even the birds sounded like Max Boyce in the middle of Wales, sort of thing. And so that was one thing. And then I kept going to and fro, unloading the car in the snow. And it struck me that even though this guy had just been standing there, he was in a T-shirt, which was really odd. And we reflected and we said, well, perhaps he was an angel that was sent to really help. And more poignantly, the next few years, as we did converse, speak with auntie and uncle, and really watch them go downhill, I think it was a sign. Not only did we need obviously practical help at that very moment, but the Lord was saying, right, well, if you come a bit closer to me, I am with you, and actually physically with you, I can be in that way, which is very good. And I think if I were a lawyer, I could build a very good case for the existence of angels and the Lord. But of course that's not really the thing, because courtroom proof isn't necessary, if you like, or isn't really any good, in that the Lord doesn't need lawyers, but he does need or require, I should say, the witnesses. And I think if we use these things can be sent to help sometimes, and then use them as testimony to lead to a place where you say yes, and in faith, obviously being the key, and then the sluice gates really do open, and he is with you, just as he was with Mark 2,000 years ago. With that, we'll have today's reading, which is from Mark. Harrison's going to come and give our reading this morning, which is our New Testament reading, and for the younger ones and for Clive, I've done a drawing.